Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports here on WKAR AM 870 1051. FM, happy Friday, or as I like to say, happy Fri-yay. That's right, you have made it. The weekend is upon us. I really hope you guys have a great one. But before you begin to indulge in switching that mindset from the grind that is the work week and dive into your weekend plans, we plan on entertaining you throughout these next 60 minutes with a very fun hour of sports talk coming your way. However you may be listening, we appreciate you allowing us to be a part of your day. On today's show, we will have not one but two guests. James Manuel will be joining me live here in studio. James is the founder of the ABA's, American Basketball Association's Lansing Legends. That's right, ABA basketball, as we brought this news to you a few weeks ago. ABA basketball is coming to Lansing, Michigan, and James Manuel has been working tirelessly to ensure that the Lansing Legends will be a success. So we'll get an update as to where James is in the planning process for the Lansing Legends. Hopefully we have a timeline to promote for you all, and hopefully a solid venue where they'll be playing. James will bring all of that news to you all in just a moment. And also later on this hour, as promised, now we had him on earlier this week, but you know, I really felt as though, you know, I there were a few points that we could have elaborated on more when it comes to the whole UNC 13 players suspended story. Those 13 players, 13 college football players at the University of North Carolina being suspended for selling Nike Jordan sneakers. Deontay Williams, he's a former UNC safety who was actually suspended 4 games back when he was a player for the North Carolina Tar Heels for receiving illegal benefits deemed by the NCAA for a spring break trip that he took. So Deontay, he told that story earlier on this week, but I really want to get some final thoughts courtesy of our Reflection Friday segment, really reflecting on that story and really diving into Deontay's thoughts on how close we are to really seeing some solid compensation for college athletes. And man, oh man, was it a fun night last night for you NFL fans out there? Now, me, I partially don't get it because it's preseason football. It's preseason football. You know, you see a lot of guys out there playing who will probably be bagging groceries or something else, you know, very, very soon as that roster gets cut to 53 come the start of the NFL season. You know, these players out there trying to fight for one of those 53 spots, you don't really get to see the starting players really perform throughout the entire game because, let's be honest, after a series, maybe two, those players are heading to the bench, don't want to risk injury, and then you're seeing John Smith and who else ever is out there. So I will say this, though. I want to put some things in perspective when it comes to the incredible fanfare that is surrounded around Mr. Baker Mayfield, the number one overall pick, Cleveland Browns fans are pretty happy right now. Tyrod Taylor, who, even though Tyrod Taylor went like perfect, right? Even threw a touchdown pass in that game. People are losing their minds over, though, Baker Mayfield and what he was able to do last night against the New York Giants. I'll put that in perspective, and we'll also give you a few things to watch for during tonight's Lions at Raiders football game out on the West Coast. All right, so a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. You can also weigh in by commenting below that video, and you can tweet us. Two ways to do so. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, just a quick reminder for you all that the Michigan State men's soccer program will open the 2018 campaign with an exhibition against Spring Arbor today at 2 p.m. Right after we get off the air here on Current Sports, that game will be played right down the road at DeMartin Stadium here on the campus of Michigan State. Today will mark the first of a trio of exhibitions before the Spartans begin the regular season. MSU will host in-state rival Western Michigan on Monday, August 13th at 1 p.m. Michigan State will conclude the preseason against Xavier on Friday, August 17th in Fort Wayne, Indiana. After reaching the Elite Eight last season, the Spartans earned a preseason ranking of number 7. They are one of four Big Ten teams ranked in the top 25, along with number 2 Indiana, number 12 Wisconsin, and number 21 the Michigan Wolverines. All right, no more counting down until the Honolulu Blue sees action on the field. It's finally here, Lions fans. The Detroit Lions will take the field tonight at 10:30 p.m. against a revamped Oakland Raiders squad. It's an opportunity for fans to see head coach Matt Patricia's Lions team in game action for the first time. It's unlikely we will see the starters very long, if at all, which means there will be plenty of playing time available for the backups to shine and those players fighting for roster spots to prove themselves. We'll have a few things to watch for when it comes to the Lions and the Raiders later on here on Current Sports. All right, and the Lions may be playing today, but there was a ton of action when it comes to last night's NFL slate of preseason games. Lamar Jackson scored a rushing touchdown in RG3, a name you haven't heard of in quite some time. He passed for a touchdown, of course, in preseason action, that 33-7 victory over the LA Rams. The Green Bay Packers might have been down 10-7 at the half, but found a groove in the second half and won comfortably by a score of 33-17. Tim Boyle, an undrafted free agent who was signed by the Packers in May of this year, threw for 130 yards, 2 touchdowns in the victory. Houston Texans tight end Jordan Akins, in his preseason debut, absolutely shined by getting 2 receiving touchdowns in a 17-10 victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. And 49ers, San Francisco 49ers backup Nick Mullins threw for 10 of 12 for 141 yards and 1 touchdown as San Fran won in a nail-biter over my Dallas Cowboys. And also 4 different Indianapolis Colts QBs had the opportunity to play in their preseason opener against the Seattle Seahawks. Phillip Walker threw for 88 yards and 1 touchdown as they edged Seattle. But the big story coming out of that game, of course, was the return of Andrew Luck, who did not hasn't played football, get this, in 585 days prior to yesterday. And I must say, you know, and again, it's preseason, so I'm not going to sit up here and make these hard assumptions of what I saw from a guy like Andrew Luck. But, you know, it was decent. All right, Luck was 6 for 9 for 64 yards in 2 series that ended with field goals. So the Colts end up topping the Seahawks. Again, as I mentioned, they edged them out 19-17. But for me, the big game that I was watching, the quote-unquote big game that I was watching last night, happened to be the Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants, because two highly touted rookies were on the gridiron going at it, at least at some point, right? Baker Mayfield. Yeah, the number 1 overall pick was pretty good. 11 of 20, 212 yards, two touchdowns. Not bad. But, again, props to Tyrod Taylor, who I assume, and many assume, will be the starter come opening weekend, right? Tyrod Taylor had a strong outing. He was 5 of 5 for 99 yards and a TD. And how about Saquon Barkley? This dude is going to be a star if he is not already a star. Saquon Barkley needed just one play in Thursday's preseason opener to show what he can add to the Giants offense. A 39-yard run on his first carry just showcased all of what this brother can do. So we'll have more takeaways from last night's Thursday night preseason action in the NFL in just a moment. And there may not be, you know, many sure things in today's world, but President Donald Trump blasting players who decide to kneel during the national anthem is pretty much a guarantee, right? You knew Trump was going to say something. Now, he went off on Twitter for what he deems as protesting during the national anthem at preseason games, accusing them, those players, of being unable to define what they are protesting and suggesting the athletes should instead be happy and be cool. The tweet read like this, quote, "The NFL players are at it again, taking a knee when they should be standing proudly for the national anthem. Numerous players from different teams wanted to show their outrage at something that most of them are unable to define. They make a fortune doing what they love," end quote. I may get to that later on in the show. I don't know if I really want to waste my breath. All right, the Detroit Tigers have played their last 42 games with just 11 victories, a 262 clip, entering its weekend series against the Minnesota Twins. With that being said, the Tigers are hoping to get some momentum as they square off in a three-game series against the Minnesota Twins. Righty Jordan Zimmermann, who is 4-4 for a 4.31 ERA, seeking to snap a four-game personal losing streak in his Friday night start against the Twins. The Tigers are currently a dismal 47-68, third place in the American League Central. Kate Upton, the famed model and wife of former Detroit Tigers pitcher Justin Verlander, made headlines yesterday. When it comes to her husband, JV, she has been a necessary shoulder to lean on during a very low period in his life. You just never know who is struggling and battling with depression, folks. This is what JV told the Bleacher Report. Quote, "She," meaning his wife, Kate Upton, "was instrumental in me not, like, jumping off a bridge. I was depressed and kind of just upset at the world and trying to hide my own bleep." Yeah, you just never know. A 2011 MVP player for the Tigers, now with the Houston Astros, JV was on a downward slide professionally in 2014 as he was dating Upton. Quote, "It was so emotional," said Upton, who married JV in November of last year and actually announced last month that she is pregnant. So congratulations to JV and Kate Upton. Upton went on to say, quote, "He was in so much pain and he was just trying to find the best path back." During moments like this, a serious story like this, I always love to say and steal a quote from my former boss, Fred Heumann at WLNS TV6. Tell someone that you love that you love them today. All right. You just never know who's suffering out there. You never know who's battling depression. Things may seem great on the outside, but you never know what that individual is battling on the inside. All right, moving along, Stan Van Gundy still making headlines. It was not a happy ending from which Stan Van Gundy could ride off into the sunset, leaving the Detroit Pistons on his own terms, feeling like he had accomplished what he had set out to do. Instead, it was an unceremonious end to a four-year tenure with only one playoff appearance to show for his time in the D as both the team and president and head coach. This is what Stan Van, still stuck on the Justin Verlander story. This is what Van Gundy had to say as he spoke on, I believe, a radio show this week. Quote, "If I could get a job for next season, I had planned to coach. Now I really don't know. I'm really lost right now. I don't have an idea. My wife wants me to retire. I have people looking into some media things, and I'm looking into some teaching opportunities in college, sports management programs, and things like that. I want to do something, but if I'm not coaching, I don't want to work too hard. If I'm going to be grinding, then I want to be a coach. If I'm not going to be coaching, I want to be a semi-retired individual, at least. I really don't know what I'm going to do," end quote. All right. Wishing Stan Van well, though. Wishing him well, whatever his future endeavors are. Coaching aside, I really think that Stan Van is a really good person. I'm really wishing him well on whatever endeavor he decides to tackle next in his career. All right, Michigan hockey coaching legend Red Berenson is headed to the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Berenson, who guided the Wolverines to 23 NCAA tournaments, 11 Frozen Four appearances, and two national championships in 96 and 98, is one of five members to be inducted in the 2018 class. During his time at Michigan, Berenson's clubs rattled off 22 straight NCAA tourney appearances, which is an NCAA record, and qualified for the event in 23 of the past 27 seasons. He is one of four coaches nationally with 800 career victories. Congratulations to Red Berenson. Very well-deserving honor there. The Detroit Red Wings have re-signed restricted free agent center Dylan Larkin to a five-year contract. The team announced this morning. The team did not release terms of the contract, but according to multiple sources, the total value of the deal is worth $30.5 million. And quick update when it comes to the PGA Championship. Again, the second round underway since this morning out in St. Louis. A stellar 156-man field doing battle over the weekend here. And, you know, Tiger Woods, that's my guy. Tiger doesn't tee off until after I get off the airwaves. Kind of great timing. I know what I'm doing as I try to work in my office later on today. When it comes to the current leaderboard right now, Kevin Kisner leads things sitting at 10 under par. He is 7 under on the day. Kevin Kisner is on a roll through 16 holes. Just amazing, amazing. Right behind Kisner, though, is Gary Woodland, which he is 3 under on the day, sitting at 9 under par. And then you have Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka tied for third, both sitting at 7 under par. So Tiger Woods sitting at even par. He will tee off later on this afternoon, a little bit after 2 o'clock. I'm rooting for you, Ty. It's just, you know, I was chatting with my man, fight promoter here in mid-Michigan, Ron DeLeon, earlier this week, and he shot me a text and said, Al, I really believe it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when for Tiger Woods winning at least some kind of tournament. Is it going to be the PGA Championship? I don't know. Especially the way the field is playing right now, I don't know. He's going to have one remarkable Friday, right? But I really do believe the Tiger is going to get a win at some point very, very soon. Tiger Woods tees off at 2:48 p.m. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
In Mayfield, buys time, eyes down the field.
Mayfield is high. And he waits for his receiver to clear. That's David Njoku with his second touchdown catch of the ball game.
I tell you, another good decision by Baker Mayfield.
37. Mayfield under pressure. Whips it downfield. And did he get his feet in? What a throw by Mayfield, but they say incomplete as Callaway couldn't get the toes down. Whether it's complete or incomplete, that's a heck of a throw. Mayfield zips this one on the seam and completes it. Fourth and inches for the Browns. Mayfield keeps it. He's got the first down. Mayfield with a bullet. Callaway in the open. And the touchdown. 54 yards. Mayfield with a bullet to Antonio Callaway.
Oh, this is one of my favorite old school joints right there. The Temptations, Ball of Confusion. You know, I felt as though it was kind of fitting today because I'm a bit confused when it comes to all of the hoopla and the fanfare surrounded around Baker Mayfield's play last night against the New York Giants. Far too premature. Can we pump the brakes, folks? We are so reactionary in the sporting world, Jack. I just don't get it. Did Baker Mayfield look good last night? Yeah. He showed ability to get out the pocket, find guys downfield. I really love that touchdown. He's rolling right. It should have been intercepted or batted down, but there's like three blue jerseys in the end zone, and somehow the receiver ends up with the football. It was a great throw, but again, that's against guys who probably won't even be on the 53-man roster come next month, right? And the series that he did play against the New York Giants first-team defense, he went 3-and-out. So can we pump the brakes? And Tyrod Taylor, who went against the first-team defense for the Giants, threw a touchdown pass. He went 5-for-5 last night. Do I believe Baker Mayfield is eventually going to be the guy? Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you don't draft a quarterback number one overall for him just to ride the bench, right? So I think that Tyrod Taylor's days are limited behind center. But, geez, can we chill? That's all I heard when I was driving in today. Three sports talk shows talking about Baker Mayfield's performance last night. Turn on the TV, ESPN and Fox, Baker Mayfield this, Baker Mayfield that. It was either that story or the Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin beef. I don't know if you did you see that video?
No, I don't think so.
It is, if you have not seen this video from last night, prior to the Carolina Panthers and Buffalo Bills NFL preseason game, check it out ASAP. I don't think it's on my Twitter page, which I don't know how I did not retweet this video, but it is so intriguing. It's about 90 seconds. Kelvin Benjamin, if you remember last week, Kelvin Benjamin, former receiver for, of course, the Carolina Panthers. He beefed out with the team. He got traded in the middle of last year to the Buffalo Bills. Well, prior to the preseason game between the Panthers and the Bills last night, last week, he went on record to blame Cam Newton, taking a jab directly at Cam Newton, saying, look, if I had a different quarterback, I probably would have made the Pro Bowl last season. Yet shots fired. Cam didn't say anything. He did not tweet. He did not talk to reporters about it. He stayed absolutely silent until last night. The video was so intriguing, Jack. He goes up to Kelvin Benjamin. Now, there's this whole debate on whether or not Cam Newton should have done this because he is a quarterback. I mean, this should be water off your back, right? You're a leader. Don't stoop down to that kind of level. But I liked what Cam Newton did last night because, again, he didn't go to social media like many athletes do nowadays. He didn't talk to reporters and air it out in the press. He went straight to the source. He walks right up to Kelvin Benjamin as he's warming up with one of his teammates and says, hey, man, look, what's up? Gets in his face a little. I don't want to say get in his face like, yeah, what's up, dog? Let's throw some bows here. But he kind of got in his face like, yo, what's up? You want to holler at me? What's up with that quote, man? And his teammate tried to, like, get in between him, and Cam's like, look, can you give us a minute? That teammate walks off. And then Cam is like, you know, hey, what's going on? And Kelvin's like, look, I don't want to talk to you. I'm warming up, dude. I said what I said. Again, there's not a mic, you know, present during this whole interaction. But, you know, they're talking back and forth. And Cam Newton actually extended his hand to make amends and say, hey, man, let's bury this. I don't know what this is. I think Cam kind of has like the LeBron James syndrome where he believes that everybody has to like him. If there is a beef, he's going to try and clear it up. I mean, that's how LeBron James is. He's anal when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Cam Newton is the same guy when it comes to that. He extended his hand. Kelvin said, no, mm-mm. Decided to, you know, he started to walk off, and Cam kind of like followed him. I'm like, Cam, you extended the olive branch. Don't follow the dude. And he's following him, and then, you know, things just kind of go off from there. But I thought it was intriguing on so many different levels. I'm shocked it didn't lead to a fight, though, because Cam did get in his face initially, like, yo, what's up? So those are two stories, Baker Mayfield and Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin from last night. So we'll dive more into Baker. Do you think I'm overreacting in saying that the public is overreacting and what we saw from Baker Mayfield last night. Real quick, Jack.
You don't have his Hall of Fame bust ready? They already got it in Canton, man.
Right, I'm sure.
No,
right?
You know what? That touchdown, like you touched on, I mean, he threw that, he put that into a shoebox. It was a great play. But, I mean, you're right. It's the first game of preseason.
It's not the first overreacting game.
Too much, you know.
Right. Take a chill pill, folks. 11 of 20, great. And, yeah, those stats could have been better, actually, because there were a few drops, as you heard during the broadcast there. 11 of 20, 212 yards, two touchdowns. I'll circle back to Baker Mayfield. If you would like to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, let's make a transition right now. Let's shift gears and welcome our first two guests here present on today's WKAR's Current Sports. If you're watching on the live stream right now, you can see both of their pearly white smiling faces. And they certainly have a right to be smiling right now because it's exciting times here in Lansing, Michigan. I know that many of you sports fans are revved up and ready for the college football year. Michigan State football getting underway on August 31st. You got Meet the Spartans coming up on the 21st. College sports is right around the corner. Then, of course, high school football is taking place. Practices across all of the Mid-Michigan area getting underway. But the Lansing Legends, if you have not heard about the Lansing Legends, you better get familiar with them, folks, because we brought this story to you a few weeks ago, you know, earlier on in the summer months, and we told you all, first reported by the Lansing State Journal, that the American Basketball Association is coming to Lansing, Michigan. The Lansing Legends, right now we have in studio the two guests that we had to talk about this this news when it first broke. We have team owner James Manuel of the Lansing Legends, and we also have Maurice Benson, Lansing native. He is the Lansing Legends Director of Basketball Operations. James, Mo, how you guys doing?
Hey, thanks for having us. Good, we appreciate it.
Great talking to you guys, man, and great, of course, having you guys in. And I want to start with you, James, because when we first talked, you as team owner, I mean, you were still trying to, you know, cross some T's and dot some I's when it comes to, you know, finding a venue. Mm-hmm. Tryouts, you know, we had you on right before trials took place for anybody that was interested in trying to make the roster for the team. What is these last few weeks been like as you guys are again etching closer and closer to fall and the start of the first inaugural season for the Lansing Legends?
Sleepless nights for me and Mo, you know, right. Every day, you know, just something right. new. We, you know, coming up with our second tryouts coming up soon. Mo's definitely going to give you the information on that. But we're just doing a lot of great things and putting a lot of great things together for the community. I mean, the community's going to benefit from the Lansing Legends being here, I promise you. And I'm going to let you tell Mo about what's going on with the basketball. Then I'll let you know the other stuff.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll circle back then. All right, Mo. And you know what, Mo? We talked when we first had you on about tryouts those coming out. I want to start with how did that first tryout go?
The first tryout, man, believe it or not, it went really well. We didn't have as many local guys that I thought we should have. You know what I'm saying? But as far as the guys that did show up, man, I was impressed.
That's what's up. Yeah, all right. So how did the, I guess you can say, the format of the tryout go? And roughly how many players showed up?
It's probably about 10 guys that showed up. And the format was pretty much just get some guys in the gym. We warmed them up a little bit and got to playing, really. I wanted to see what guys' IQ, see what kind of work ethic they had, and just wanted to get to meet them and let them know that I was about to be serious, not just coming to the gym and pick up the ball and go. We're going to train a little bit, see what guys' IQ is at, but, you know, most importantly, play.
Out of those 10, how many did you look at and say, all right, that could be a possible Lansing Legend?
Two.
Two of them.
It's two guys that I kind of took from there that they pretty much are already said and done. Right now, I think I have about four players right now.
Okay.
We're having the tryout on the 18th of August, you know what I mean, at RA1. And so hopefully our more local guys come out, man. So I really wanted to be locally based.
Definitely. At RA1, where is RA1 at?
727 Pruding.
Okay.
Pruding Place. Yep, that's RA1. Rise 1 Range, that's where I be doing a lot of my work at right now. So we're going to have a tryout there, which is locally. So maybe the Olivet thing scared everybody, but locally, mm-hmm. we're going to try to have it, like I said, on the 18th.
That's really cool. You know what? Yep. Now that you say Pruden Place, I actually used to live
absolutely
at Pruden Place. Yep. I used to make – so is this the gym –
That is right next to the railroad tracks.
Yeah, right next to it.
I used to walk my dog, and I would kind of peek into that gym all the time. I've never seen anybody playing on it, but it looks like a beautiful gym. I'm like, man, I want to get a run in.
We're going to have practices there. That's where we're going to practice at. You know what I'm saying? That's where the trial's going to be at. So the guys that be on the team will be real familiar with that place.
That's great stuff. And I believe it used to be like a police station right?
Yep, precinct. Yep.
How about that? So, yeah, it's funny, Jack. That's when I first got my gig here at WKAR, I tried to ball out and say, yeah, about to live downtown Lansing, baby. And then I'm like, why am I paying this much money in Lansing for a loft? Yeah, I was going broke. I don't know what I was thinking back then, dude. All right, James, let's circle back to you now. I know you were trying to find a solidified venue when it comes to fans showing up to the games and showing their support. So where are you with that right now?
We're going
to
go with Harry Hill. We've just got set, you know, that we're going to have that venue this year at Harry Hill.
Harry Hill, where is that at?
That's on the south side. It's the south side, considered the south side precinct now off of Wise Road.
Okay.
In Lansing, Michigan. It's a nice facility. I believe it holds about 1,500 maybe.
That's pretty good.
It'd be a nice venue. Keep it nice and closed and loud so when the opponents come in, you know, they can't bear being there.
Definitely. That's what you want, right?
That's exactly what we want.
How did you settle on that location?
Well, that was on Mo. That was Mo Dill right there.
Okay,
so he came through with it, so he's finalizing it for everything for us and all that. So.
And I know Mo. I think when last we talked, I mean, I know you guys were trying to, you know, possibly get into Don Johnson Fieldhouse. I know.
Yeah.
And had some other areas on your radar, but what makes this area special, Mo?
Man, just the location. I think like being right off the highway, and then the gymnasium. I know the gym has been there for a very long time. You go into it. It's just a perfect location for it. You know what I'm saying? South side, right off the highway. It's easy accessible for all the little community centers around. You know what I mean? It's just perfect for it.
James, as far as the schedule goes, any updates on that? Teams you'll be playing?
Actually, we got first game is November 15th.
We have a date for the first game. How about that?
Right? Am I correct, Mo?
I got it written down. I know we got our first game will be a away game, but I think our first home game is on the 15th.
On the 15th, but the season will start before that with an away game.
Yeah, a couple away games. Yeah, we got a team we playing. It's a couple teams in Chicago we're going to see. A team in Indianapolis. It should be pretty fun, man.
That's great. So this is really exciting.
Yeah, I met with the mayor and Bishop Maxwell. Man, they're excited about, you know, the legends coming here. The mayor's going to be there on opening day, giving away, you know, the first game ball.
Yeah.
So it's going to be exciting, you know. And then we also got a company called Crossover.
Okay.
It's a company that's going to be manufacturing apparel for, man, they do it for Nike, they do it for Adidas and all that. So they're going to come and sponsor the ABA.
Okay.
Okay, and what they're going to do for us in our community, they're going to help us market the schools and local programs around here so they can brand their own image and make money off of it. It's going to be huge.
You talk about branding your own image. And again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the team owner of the ABA's Lansing Legends, Mr. James Manuel, and the Lansing Legends Director of Basketball Operations, Maurice Benson. You talk about team image and branding, James. If you guys could just kind of turn to the live stream and show off those shirts there. You see both Mo and James rocking the Lansing Legends basketball team logo on some really nice, great T-shirts. For those that don't know James and Mo, I mean, how you guys, you know, came to that name and that team logo, what went into that process?
Well, our co-founder, Dave Dela Cruz, who owns and runs Taco y Mas, he was, you know, he's the one, like I said, generated this idea of bringing the Lansing Legends here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ran with it, you know, because I thought it was a great idea. Like I said, I've been meeting with the owners of the league and stuff, and we're doing some great things. We're going to meet with this group called Trav Now.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're going to do, I said, give me something to give to the community. So what they're going to do is give us these savings cards, $500 worth of just free giveaway to the community. They can have discounts off of hotels, airlines, restaurants. So we're just going to give it away to the community.
That's great stuff.
It's going to be huge. And our apparel, our website, when we launch it, man, you got to see the apparel. We're going to be up there with the best.
I can't wait, man. And I love the logo. So your team colors would be what, maroon and gold?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you're rocking with, right? And how did you come up with the logo? Where did you find the logo at?
Dave Dela Cruz. I mean,
Dave Dela Cruz did all of that.
He's a genius at, you know, bringing up logos and, you know, and names and things like that. He helped out other businesses around the community. So I went to him and said, hey, man, give me something special. And it's huge. And as you can see, with the apparel and all this, you know, with the dry fit, the hoodies. You know, we're also going to come out with a Legend 517 shoe.
You guys are coming out with a shoe as well?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then this is it. You don't have to be an athletics to be a legend. You know what I'm saying?
That.
So we're promoting.
That sounds like a motto. You put that on a t-shirt. You don't have to be a legend.
Yeah, so we're going to put this shoe out there, and the proceeds are going to go to help, you know, different foundations around the city of Lansing, man. So like I said, you know, Mo and I, you know, the first thing we said is, let's give back to the community. Mm-hmm. So we asked the ABA to help us, you know, just give the community just a bunch of things, man, just to move off of, you know, just to bring that life back here.
I love that.
Now, you know, hopefully, you know, I know Mo's going to put together a good team. To put on the show, because if not, I got to find somebody else.
That's some pressure, Mo. That's some pressure, man.
It is pressure, because you know how hard, you know, how hard it is here. You know, we got some hard critics around here, you know. So, when they see basketball, they want to see some good basketball, you know.
Yeah, there's certainly a healthy basketball culture here in Lansing. Some greats have come from this area, gone on to do some great things professionally, either in the NBA or overseas.
Right.
For you, Mo, again, you talk about this next tryout that is coming up. Again, if anybody is listening out there that says, all right, man, this sounds like a great opportunity for me, how can those individuals come out? Is there a tryout fee as well?
Yeah, tryout fee would be $50. You know what I'm saying? August 18th, RA1, 727 Pruden. And if you're not friends with me on Facebook, I put the flyers out on Facebook, Instagram. But, yep, just come on out, man. Any guys that feel that they can play ball, there's going to be a good opportunity for them. We're going to have a few home games, and they could play in front of their family and friends.
And they get paid, too.
And they get paid. Get paid, man. Just get the experience. I want to really create that experience for them. Like, the money part is, that's the plus. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the experience, though. Because a lot of people that I would like to come out probably did play in high school, probably play some college ball, and still want to play. And it's going to be a different setting than playing in a regular rec league.
How rigorous is the schedule?
Well, the ABA, for one, it's a different type of league. Very fast-paced. It has some rules that kind of speed the game up. The 3D rule that comes in effect. So a lot of the teams, they press. So it's kind of going to be a little different from, it's going to be, you know, if you don't really get a...
Make sure you're in shape, right?
Yeah. And that's going to be the difference, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's going to be a lot different, you know what I'm saying? So the guys that come out, I really want to be serious guys that's really serious about playing, at least performing well, and really high character guys. That's what I'm really looking for.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And, you know, you mentioned those rules. Just to go through a few of those I think are really, really cool, fellas. Games are 48 minutes. Players have 7 seconds to get the ball past half court.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's where that press really comes into play, right? Because if you can get a team to infringe on that 7-second rule and get the ball back, I mean, heck, I mean, who knows what could happen there. But, yeah, players have 7 seconds instead of the normal 10 in the NBA to get the ball past the half-court line. There are 2-point, 3-point, 4-point, and 5-point shots under certain game conditions. And I think you kind of see that a bit when it comes to the big three that Ice Cube has. I think he has like a... Is it a 5-point shot or a 4-point shot? It's a 4-point shot, right?
Yeah.
Beyond the 3-point line, you just heave it up there and see if it goes in. A 3D light, as you mentioned, Mo, goes on after an opposing team fails to get the ball past the half court line in 7 seconds. When the light is on, traditional 2-pointers are now worth 3, and 3-pointers are now worth 4, and half court shots, yes, half court shots, folks,
right,
are 5. And the 3D light remains on until the team scores, attempts a free throw for a personal foul, or the other team gets control of the ball. Players can't foul out. I just found that news out this morning as well. That's kind of cool. I wish they had that rule in basketball, to be honest with you.
It's a little different.
Once
they get a certain amount of fouls, I know it's going to like a tech thing. So you really don't want to foul out, get in a position to get over their limit.
Right.
But it does bring, you're saying, bring a little bit more excitement to the game.
Yeah, because I also read that, I believe, 6 personal fouls does result in a technical.
Yeah.
And the ball will be given to the opposing team.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah.
This is fun stuff. It sounds like the Harlem Globetrotters on steroids. That's
right,
what it sounds like. But, again, you're competing out there. The Globetrotters are putting on a show. They're playing the Washington Generals, which never won a game, right? You guys are playing for wins.
For wins,
love
man.
That. Any final thoughts here, James, that you want to let the public know? If there is anybody listening that wants to get involved or become a sponsor, maybe?
Yes, well, we're going to be launching off the website soon, very soon. We're getting with, like I said, the crossover company and the Trav Now company. So once we get with those guys, and they give us the information to put on the website, we're going to launch. It's going to be huge. The apparel, you're going to be able to order apparel with your school logos on it. I mean, so we're going to be able to do a lot of things for the community. We're going to have the website is www.lansinglegends.com. The email is lansinglegendsaba@gmail.com.
And we'll be sure to put that information on our Facebook page when we do post the podcast version of today's episode. So again, email address is LansingLegendsABA@gmail.com, and the website is www.LansingLegends.com. And how can sponsors get involved? I guess just contacting you through one of those two forums?
Through the emails, or like I said, once the website get launched, like I said, it's going to be up soon. They'll be able to go there, bow, look at the sponsorship package. I mean, the perfect packages. We're going to be helping them out, promoting other businesses and all those things. So it's going to be great.
I love having you guys on the show. Okay. James Manuel, Maurice Benson, wishing you guys luck. And oh, one more thing.
We're going to actually, Mo and myself, we're going to be out helping the Baby Rucker. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah. No.
Out at Mount Vernon. Rashawn Fisher been doing a wonderful job. He's been having out 200 or 300 kids out there every Thursday. The mayor's been out there. Magic Johnson dad showed up. Thursday, man, it's been huge.
I think I've seen Steve Finnemore out there. That's my guy, Steve Finnemore, former East Lansing boys basketball coach. He's always posting on social media, and he actually posted a video.
Yes.
It's actually called Baby Rucker?
It's called the Baby Rucker, man. Got kids out there balling outside you never see anymore. So we're going to have a little skills camp on Tuesday, August 14th, from 12 to 3.
Okay.
Okay.
4 days from now.
4 days from now. And also, they're going to have Mo's and going to be putting together some teams. So for older gentlemen, Mo's going to be playing, I think.
Right.
Might get out there a little
bit. Yeah, you know,
Mo, are you going to play on the Lansing Legends?
Man, we're going to see, man.
Because I saw that reported for the Lansing Journal. Like, Mo may play.
Al, we got guard with him and Mo together, man.
Yeah.
James wants you to play. You see how he's talking?
We got some talented guys. We got
another guard that's a beast. Wait till y'all see him.
I can't wait to see what you got. So 4 days from now, how can kids get involved with that?
Just show up to Mount Vernon. The address is 3338 North Waverly Road. Show up. We're going to be feeding kids hot dogs, hamburgers. We got giveaways. It's going to be live music out there. I mean, it's going to be a fun, fantastic thing out there. So everybody just need to come out there and enjoy us.
That's awesome. And we'll be sure to remind our listeners when that day does come that it's going on.
I appreciate that.
James Manuel, Maurice Benson, guys, thank you so much for coming on today's Current Sports. It won't be the last. We'll be having you on multiple times, all right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Much love, fellas.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite to the show Deontay Williams, former UNC free safety, now author and change agent. We'll get Deontay on the show to put a wrap on this whole UNC and the 13 players suspended conversation. That and so much more. You are listening to the Friday version of WKAR's Current Sports. All right. I want to give a big shout out again. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we just finished up a fantastic chat with James Manuel and Maurice Benson. James Manuel, of course, is the team owner of the Lansing Legends ABA basketball coming to Lansing. Very impressive stuff. And Mo Benson is the director of basketball operations. And they're stated to have their very first game mid-November, very first home game here in Lansing mid-November, with a tryout for anyone interested, a second tryout for anyone interested, coming up very soon. And again, we'll be sure, if you're just now joining us here on the show, did not get a chance to hear that interview, we'll be sure to put that information, on our Facebook page when we do post the podcast version of this show. All right, right now I want to dive right into Reflection Friday, where we take a moment prior to the end of every Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports to reflect a bit on some of the stories that we have talked about, maybe bring up a few stories that we have not gotten a chance to tackle just yet, and maybe just go completely off the radar and just sound off on anything. All right? That is what Reflection Friday is for. Here we go. All right, you know, what I wanted to do on this Reflection Friday was you know, do something a bit different. Because for those who have been tuning in throughout the week, you all know that we had a very good friend of the show on earlier this week to dive into this whole University of North Carolina story where 13 University of North Carolina football players have been suspended for the sale of team-issued shoes. Those shoes were Nike Jordans. And 9 of the 13 will miss 4 games, and most notable being sophomore quarterback Chaz Surratt, who is the team leader last season in passing yards, yards per attempt, and completion percentage. And we welcome to the show Deontay Williams, former free safety of the University of North Carolina football team, who is now an author and change agent. And Deontay shared his story how back when he was a player, he was actually suspended for a violation of receiving benefits as a player, which led to a 4-game suspension. Right now, let's just bring him on to the show right now. Deontay Williams now joins us via phone. Deontay, happy Friday, my man.
Hey, what's going on, Al? As I like to say, happy Friday, you know what I mean?
That's right, baby. I love it. I love it, man. Happy Friday to you as well. And you know, we had you on earlier this week, and, you know, we got a lot of response from your interview, which was very candid as you shared the story of when you went out on a spring break trip and, used a bank card. And the NCAA found out and suspended you 4 games. And that kind of led, directly to the conversation that we're having, of course, when it comes to the 13 current UNC football players who got suspended for selling team-issued Jordan sneakers. And then, of course, that led to the whole conversation when it comes to college athletes being paid. So just to give, you know, some final thoughts on this, courtesy of our Reflection Friday weekly segment, Deontay, when it comes to your relationship with the program right now, have you gotten a chance to really kind of pick the brains of the players who are currently on the UNC football roster? What is your relationship with the university, I should say, right now?
I would say my relationship with the university is the same as I would say any alumni. You have great love and admiration for the time that you were there. But at the same time, you're an adult now, and you're trying to adult, you know, you're adulting. And so you would love to get back and go back and talk to the guys a little bit more. But I also think, you know, universities, we do a good job of, I guess, reaching back. But for issues like this, we didn't have any kind of, I would say, input or any advice that we could have given over to these guys from a program standpoint or from a player standpoint, kind of frowned upon. And it's not just at North Carolina, but any university, you know, it kind of draws eyes when, you know, a person comes through that program, leaves that program and is successful. If they're, you know, buddying up with some former or current athlete there, it kind of puts that guy at risk, you know, for the NCAA to come in and say, okay, what are you guys doing? Did he take you out to eat or, you know, something like that? So it's kind of tough. It's a tough seat as a university standpoint and as a former player. You want to help these guys out, but you don't want to get them in trouble and mess with their eligibility.
What kind of changes should be made right now, Deontay, and how does or should the NCAA go about making those modifications? Because we also, you know, we brought the story to our listeners earlier this week when it comes to the whole NCAA deciding to trying to implement new changes when it comes to college basketball and, you know, players who are considered elite high school boys basketball prospects, to allow them to hire agents, even though they haven't not been on the same page when it comes to USA Basketball and the NBA. But how should the NCAA go about tackling this and making some kind of change?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things like there's no internship for the NFL or professional sports, man. So it's very hard. Like, you don't have an expert that you can call up and ask questions, you know, well, you know, what agent did you use? Or, you know, how do I get these questions answered before I pick an agent? You know, the process is crazy when it's time for you to go pick an agent because you're scared. You don't kind of understand what you're going to get in trouble for. Everyone tells you while you're in school, man, you don't need to be talking to any financial advisors or any agents or anything like that. You know, you can get in trouble for such. And at North Carolina, this is what we all got in trouble for, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was like a shark fest, man. Once we were eligible to start talking to agents, you know, the university, the campus was just buzzing. And that's just how it is when you got talented athletes there. But if you think about that process, if you had, like, let's say an older brother or someone that had played in the NFL, that older brother would tell you the exact things that you kind of need to know going into that process, whereas you're kind of just trusting the word of strangers by the time it's time for you to kind of pick your agent and such. So I think something like that could be avoided if you had more like some way for us type of guys that been through that process to say, hey, I understand exactly where you're sitting at and what you're talking about. But at the same time, consider these things here. Boom, boom, boom. You know, and we speak the same language. And so I don't understand why that doesn't exist a little bit more.
Very good points, Deontay. Final question for you. If there are any parents out there listening who have a talented young athlete, a young son or daughter who's about to make a decision to go to college and play collegiate sports, what advice would you give to those parents? And what are some of the biggest mistakes that you do see young collegiate athletes make?
Oh, man. I feel like that question just walked me into a plug for my book, man.
But there you go. Please. Go ahead, Deontay.
I appreciate that. But I really took my time and expressed myself from my childhood dream of playing football to the very ending of my football career. And along that process, and I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but the title of my book was about to be Big Ticket Out the Hood. That's mm-hmm. what football was for me. That's what my scholarship was for me. And so, you know, I expressed that in my book. And so I have a ton of jewels in that book. I talk about my mother, my grandmother, my nana, my brothers, what it was like, you know, overnight becoming a successful football player and all the expectations and all of these things that come along with that and some of the pitfalls. I think knowledge, not having someone I could have bounced certain ideas off of probably hurt or kind of led to some of the suspensions that we had at North Carolina. It was just kind of new territory, you know? Mm-hmm. We didn't have anybody to kind of talk to. So that was probably one regret. I probably would have asked a little bit more questions during that time. But, you know, you're 18, you're 19, you're 20. You don't really know what's going on at that time, man. So you're just trying to keep one foot in front of the other, you know. So those were kind of some of my regrets. But I expressed some of that stuff in my book. So please go get it. It's on Amazon. It's called My Breaking Point. It's a lovely story about success and going through that process from a child's perspective and then looking back and telling it again.
Deontay Williams, former UNC safety, author of My Breaking Point. Again, go on Amazon, get it. It's a fantastic piece of work and also dubbed Change Agent. Deontay, thank you so much for your insight. Really appreciate it this week, my man.
Man, appreciate you. You the man. I'll keep doing your thing.
I'm trying, brother. Just trying to pay the bills, all right? Deontay Williams. All right. To close out the show here, Jack, first off, man, any thoughts on the interviews we had today? Just some awesome interviews, man. You know, we had Maurice Benton in and James Manuel. ABA coming to Lansing. Did you hear those rule changes? Those are some pretty cool rule changes when it comes to just the average game of basketball, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? It was awesome, James and Maurice, talking about all the stuff they're going to do for the city of Lansing and the youth in Lansing as well. And the other thing, like you brought up, I love that people can't foul out in the ABA. This is awesome.
And if you do get that sixth foul, it will hurt your team because, you know, you'll get a technical for the other team and they get the ball after the free throw is shot. But, yeah, I mean, we're talking about a four-point shot, five-point shot. I mean, just absolute craziness.
It's an NBA-sized court, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So a seven-second violation, if you don't cross half court, you should be full court pressing all game. That's less time than they get in the pros.
Exactly, and that's what Maurice Benson was saying. I mean, that's all you see at the ABA level. It is all four court press in the entire game. So that's really fun stuff. All right, we have, again, Jack Kerwin as well as Alec Rio behind the glass for Reflection Friday. Any other favorite moments of the week, Jack? Any favorite stories that you read and maybe that we didn't even get a chance to discuss here on Current Sports?
Well, as a big-time hockey fan and a big-time Red Wings fan, it was pretty awesome that Dylan Larkin signed a team-friendly deal earlier today. So that pretty much made my morning, I should say. I've been hearing all summer that something was going to get done, and it finally did. So right. A lot of relief there.
And thank you for that, because I missed that, and you threw that in our headliner today. So thank you for adding
Alec
that.
Alec did. Got to give him credit there.
Oh, Alec. Yeah. Okay, Alec caught that. Good eye, Alec. All right, Alec, for you, man, Reflection Friday. It's been an incredibly busy week. A lot of topics that we've discussed here on the show, a lot of guests. Your favorite moment or maybe a story that we talked about and dove into or didn't get a chance to dive into?
Well, I also got to agree with Jack. Hearing the news about Dylan Larkin getting signed definitely made my morning a lot better. And also the news of the Cavs and Pistons preseason game at the Breslin Center. I'm actually really, really excited to see that. I'm definitely going to go for sure.
It's funny because, you know, when we brought that breaking story on the airwaves during Thursday's Current Sports, courtesy of the state news, immediately after that, I checked my email, and there you go. MSU Athletics sent an email to all of us local media members saying, yep, it's on the Cavs website, cat's out the bag, there will be a preseason game coming to the Breslin Center. So I think it's pretty exciting. I got to be in the house for that as well. I'm going to try and cover that one. Never covered an NBA game. How about that? That'd be like the ideal opportunity to do that, right? So great stuff as the Cavs will be taking a visit to the Breslin Center here in East Lansing against the Detroit Pistons for some preseason ball. All right, it's been a great week. I want to give a special shout-out to Jack Kerwin, Alec Rio, Connor Mathis, and, of course, all of our guests and you, the listener. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your week. We'll be back at it, same time, same place on Monday to recap all things Detroit Lions as they take on the Raiders tonight. Be easy, people.